Well, Catherine, thank you for joining us on our podcast we're doing here called Everyday Disciples. It's a chance for us to hear people's stories from WMB and just share testimony and just share about what God's doing. This is our fourth episode, so you're our fourth guest. So thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And why don't you just tell us a bit about yourself? Who is Catherine?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Catherine Dick. I am married to Jesse. We've been married for 10 and a half years now, which is hard to believe. We live in Kitchener, quite close to the Kitchener site, to Cambie. I'm originally from Peterborough, and that's where all of my family is. So I enjoy going back there to visit them when I can. And for work, I work as a lawyer for the Children's Aid Society in London, which is the equivalent of the Family and Children's Services here in KW. I've been there for 8 years, and actually just in the last month or two have transitioned into a new role there. So I am now the director of the legal department. So,
wow, congratulations. That sounds very official and very, very high up there. That's very, very exciting.
Yeah, it's a transition. And so I'm learning a bunch of new skills, how to manage people and departments. So figuring that out, but it's going well.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
And why don't you just share? This is a question I always ask everyone. It's a way for us just to hear about who you are in a different type of way.
Yeah.
So what are some things that make you feel fully alive?
I really love being outside in nature. Just like being able to go for a walk in the woods just like brings me joy. I don't know if people know the Rockway Gardens. It's really close to the Kitchener Site Church. There's a path there that kind of goes on the top, and you just walk through some trees, and it's just absolutely beautiful. No matter how bad of a day I'm having, I can walk through there, and it just like makes me smile.
It takes the turn. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So being in nature, I love traveling, which is related, I think, seeing all the like beautiful things that God has created all over the world is just truly a joy. And the various cultures and languages, and I love that. Yeah.
I love that. I think there's something biblical in that, right? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about like looking at the lilies of the field, the birds of the sky. He's like, God takes care of them. How much more am I going to take care of you, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just, it's what we need, right? Just to be into nature and be in nature rather, and just be like, yeah, it's going to be okay. If God could create all of this beauty,
yeah,
I think he has this. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got me in his hand. So yeah, I totally, totally love that. Mm-hmm. My next question for you is just a bit of your story. Why don't you just share a bit of your faith story and how you came to know Jesus and just a bit of insight into that?
Yeah, for sure. So I had the enormous blessing and privilege of being raised in a Christian home with Christian parents who just really taught me and demonstrated in their lives what it means to have a deep relationship with Jesus and to faithfully live to follow him. So that has been part of my life since I was a little kid. And I made that decision when I was quite young. And honestly, there's never been some major turning points or dramatic shifts. It really just has been a gradual process over time, by God's grace, of learning more about who he is and how to live in relationship with him. And as a faithful follower, I have often kind of struggled with that, not having the good testimony of being able to say, I had this dramatic experience, and God turned my life totally around. But I have learned, and I need to be reminded sometimes, that God just works in different ways in different people's lives. But ultimately it's his story and not mine. And so that's what makes it good, because that is how he has chosen to be at work in my life. And I'm grateful for that blessing. So honestly, there's never been a time that I can remember in my life when I haven't loved Jesus. And I'm grateful for that. Obviously I have leagues to go in terms of learning more about him and what it means to follow him. But
I always say that is a testimony in itself, though, right? It's just like the faithfulness and God's faithfulness in your life. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we think we need that big dramatic testimony, and that's just not true, right? Because there is actually so much beauty in the testimony of God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And like you said, in the end, it's what God has done, right? And all of our stories are different.
Yeah.
And God works in different ways. So yeah, I think that's actually a testimony. This is another thing I always say too. That's actually a testimony that more people will relate to in a sense, right?
Yeah.
And it can be encouraging for people who feel like they don't have a story to share. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you do, right? Mm-hmm. Just the story of God's faithfulness and how he's worked in your life, that is a story in itself. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
With that, how did WMB come into the picture for you, and how did that connection kind of build?
Yeah, so I've had two phases actually of being at WMB. So I started coming here to Waterloo in 2008 when I came to the University of Waterloo. So I moved to this area, came here for the 4 years that I was in university. And then moved out of the area for, I guess, about a total of 8 or 9 years. And then 3 years ago, we moved back to this area. We ended up in Kitchener. We ended up buying a house that's a 5-minute walk from the Kitchener site, which, from my perspective, I would say it was by chance or by accident. Looking back, I think we can really see God's hand kind of in placing us in that neighborhood. But yeah, when we bought the house, we had no idea really that the kitchen site was really just around the corner. So that was really neat. So when we first moved there, Kitchener was the first church that we visited, but we were open to attending a different church. So for a month or two, maybe three, we visited some other churches in the area. But yeah, we just really felt at home at Kitchener, and like that we could get plugged in there, and we felt really welcomed. And so yeah, we jumped right in. We've been there since. Yeah.
That's really, yeah, I was about to say jump right in. That leads perfectly to my next question. Because to me, it's actually kind of crazy that you've only been here 3 years since you've been back. Because when I think of you, my relationship with you and I have gotten to know you, it's through how you've been serving too in different areas. So for you, just like from your perspective, why is serving important? Why is it something you do in the church? We'll get into that a bit more in depth in a second, about being on the church council now.
Yeah.
But why have you chosen to serve in church?
Yeah, I think, I mean, similar to what I was saying about growing up in a Christian home, serving in the church has always been part of my life. My parents really modeled that for me. So, I mean, I was helping in kids ministry since I probably should have still been in kids ministry as a kid. Yeah, we were always the first ones there, last ones to leave, all of those things.
I can relate to that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so whenever I've gone to church, I always am looking for opportunities straight away to get involved. To be honest, actually, when we first came to Kitchener, it was a bit of a difficult season. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself a little bit of time before I get involved. Mm-hmm. And I did. I took a couple months. But there are just some really awesome lay leaders in Kitchener in particular that knew me through like Jesse's connections or when I went to WMB. So like Lisa Shue, for example, or Doug Dedman, were within a couple of months were saying, hey, would you be willing to serve in this capacity or this capacity? And so I was like, okay, I guess.
Well, Lisa Shue is pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she has any hint that you might be a possibility of serving in Kitchener kids ministry, she will be there. And I love her for that.
So then I started doing that. But it is, for me, it's part of being in the community. Because I think we are supposed to live out our Christian faith in community. It's not meant to be in an isolated activity. And one of the best ways to do that is to serve and to get connected in that way and to give back. And I think we had the series recently on the spiritual gifts, and I think that just highlighted so well how we all have gifts and skills, and the church needs them. We're not only in a church to take whatever we can get, but to all give to one another, so that we can build one another up, and ultimately bring glory to God. Yeah, so related to that, there's this a quote from Augustine that I wanted to share that came to mind as I was kind of preparing for this. It says, "Find out how much God has given you, and from it take what you need. The remainder is needed by others." And I came across that quote a number of years ago. And often I think about it in terms of financial means, like what do I need for my life and how can I be generous with the rest of it? But I think it also really applies to our time and our skills and our abilities and our gifting, especially. God has given us all of these things, and we do need what we need for ourselves, for our families, but he has given these things to be a blessing to others, and he has designed us to live in community so that we can use these gifts, and they are needed by others. I need the gifts that you have, and you need the gifts that I have, and that's how we are intended to work together in community.
I love that. And with that, you have recently started this journey of joining our church council, which is very exciting. I think for us even to see younger leaders join our church council, I'd love to see that. Mm-hmm. And so why don't you share a bit about that journey and how that came to be and how it has been for you being on church council? Because I don't think it's something that everyone knows about.
Yeah.
Or at least knows what exactly you guys do and what that looks like.
Yeah. So about a year ago, they were seeking nominations for more people to join the council. I actually had three different people ask if they could nominate me.
That might be a sign then, if you have three different people.
So the first two, I said, no, thank you. And then the third one, I was like, okay, I feel like maybe God is trying to tell me something. So I was like, okay, yes, I will agree for you to do that. And then, that person, I guess, filled in the nomination form, and then you meet with the discernment committee and have an interview. And so I went through that whole process, and then they asked if I would join the council. So, I prayed about that and felt like it was something that God was leading me to do for this season. So, I jumped right into it. It has been a challenging but rewarding experience. It's a pretty big learning curve, just different than other sorts of ways that you would normally be involved in the church. And there can be like challenging discussions or decisions that have to be made. And so kind of joining in on that, especially as someone who is younger, it can be a bit intimidating. But I have also often left meetings feeling excited about how God is at work in the church, how he is seeking to build his kingdom in and through this church community, and that we get to be a part of that. I also think it's neat to join council or for people to be on other committees that are connected to council, because it's an opportunity for people with different sets of skills to use those and giftings, things you wouldn't normally think about in terms of, I serve at my church. So as a lawyer, I mean, there's not often day-to-day ways I can use my legal skills, but being on church council and on some of the committees, I can do that. Would be same for people who have a finance background or perhaps human resources or communications, that sort of thing, because those skills are really needed, and it's largely a behind the scenes sort of role, but it's really important for a healthy church community to have that oversight and leaders who are committed and are praying for the church and seeking God's direction for it.
I love that. And just to connect back to your testimony, to the Augustine quote, and to everything we've been talking about, you said it's a bit of a behind-the-scenes role, but it's one that just takes faithfulness too, right? And it takes a lot of prayer, and it takes a lot of just seeking what the Lord has for us, right? So I think, I know we're starting to look at this time for nominations for the next year for council, and sometimes people might be wondering, am I worthy enough, right? That maybe was a question you asked. Like, am I really good for this? Do I really bring anything to the table, right? And yes, there's many different pieces, and we said some of it's legal, some of it's financial, and all of that. But then a lot of it is just faithfulness, love, and prayer for the church,
yeah,
right? And it's, do you love the church? Do you love the bride of Christ? And that's kind of the heart posture where you want to start with. Yeah. So I really appreciated that, because I think that, yeah, this ties so beautifully into your testimony as well and your story. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to kind of bring our discussion to a close with is I want to just hear a bit about, what is God doing in your life right now? So if you have even one or two things, what are some things that God's been doing in your life that you would love just to proclaim and share?
So I think I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but I also go to school part-time.
So you're very busy, what I'm getting from this conversation.
Yes, which goes to this answer.
Okay.
So I'm doing a master's of theology through Tyndale, part-time, just because I want to learn more about God and the Bible and my faith. But right now I'm taking a little bit of a less academic course. I'm doing a spiritual formation course, which is really just practicing spiritual disciplines and kind of really leaning in to that. And something that has been coming up for me repeatedly, both through things in that course and also meeting with a spiritual director, which is a growing experience as well. And then some other groups I'm a part of, a verse that keeps coming back to me, is Psalm 62, which speaks about finding a rest in God. And maybe I will just read it if that's...
I would love that. Okay. Let's read it.
Have it here. So Psalm 62, verse 1, I'll read verse 1 and 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I've just been feeling recently God saying, you need to be able to rest in me. I have called you to do these things that you're doing, and they're good. But you don't need to, and in fact, you can't. Just do it all on your own. I have a tendency to be a bit independent and think, I can do this, I have the skills, I have the ability. And I believe God has given me those things, but it has to be on the foundation of just finding that rest in him, and not, just trying to do it all on my own for the sake of being able to do it and saying that I did it, but just being able to take the time daily and be in his presence and rest in him, and from that draw the strength that I need to do the things that I believe that he has called me to do. And there's also a song, it's quite old, it's from the 80s.
Quite old, very old.
It's older than me.
It's older than me too.
I am from the 80s, but just the very tiny last bit of it. It's called Only in God. It's by a duo called Wendy and Mary. And it is basically singing this psalm. And I didn't know the song. It was one of my mother-in-law's favorite songs. And 2 years ago was the 10th anniversary of her passing. And so we as a family recorded that song just at the Kitchener Library. Actually, you can use recording studios there. It had struck a chord with me kind of when we recorded it. And then just over the last few weeks, it's just been going through my head over and over. So I've just been listening to the recording that we did of it. And then just the other day, I realized, oh, this is the same, like they're singing the same song. Like for some reason, I hadn't made that connection. So just the way that yeah, God just keeps bringing that up to me because it's so easy to say, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I have all of these things and I don't have time for just resting in mm-hmm. God. But that has to be the foundation in order to be able to do those things, all the other things well and in a way that is going to bring glory to God and ultimately be fruitful.
And we saw that in Jesus' ministry, right? Like, as Jesus went, he took those times to pause and to be in communion with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's so vital for us, right? It's about just actually being really intentional, really valuing that, right? And being like, no, I'm going to prioritize that in my life. And that's hard work. Mm-hmm. It is hard work to prioritize that, but it is beyond the fruit. It goes beyond beyond that work. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And thank you for just having this discussion with us. And we're recording this in our Waterloo site family room. So for those who've watched this podcast before, bit of a new location. If you listen to it, you probably wouldn't know any different. Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Catherine, for just joining us here and having this discussion.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for having me. It's great.